the Treasury's latest solution.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Treasury just keeps bringing it. New plans to fix the economy. This one isn't official. It's just a proposal right now. But the idea is to lower mortgage rates to entice buyers in the housing market. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
The government is looking at persuading banks to lend at rates of 4.5%. That's a percentage point lower than the current rate for a typical 30-year mortgage. The government would buy the mortgage-backed securities that underpin those home loans. The idea is with Treasury taking that risk off their hands, banks will feel freer to lend at lower interest rates. Chris Mayer of Columbia Business School backs the plan. He says there are millions of unsold houses on the market, pulling prices ever downward.
And by reducing borrowing rates, the government would be providing really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people to get into the housing market and to purchase a home at low prices and even lower mortgage rates.
Mayer says that would break the cycle of falling house prices that's helping to keep the economy in the doldrums. But others say the plan won't help enough people because only the most creditworthy borrowers will be able to sign up. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
In Europe today, the Bank of England cut its main interest rate by a full percent. And the European Central Bank made a 3/4% cut. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us. Stephen, what's the reaction so far to these substantial cuts?
The cut here in the UK is very substantial. We're down to 2%. That is pretty much the lowest level since the Bank of England was set up in the late 17th century, around about the time Isaac Newton was discovering gravity. Very substantial cut. It has been welcomed by industry groups here and trade unions who say this sort of desperate measure is vital to revive the economy, to stop it sliding ever deeper into recession. On the other hand, there is a group of analysts here who say there comes a point when these cuts become completely ineffective. The credit crunch continues. The banks are still reluctant to lend to each other. And there's one analyst here this morning who says in this climate, really, a cut in interest rates is nothing more than symbolism. It's akin to sacrificing a goat.
All right. So what is the risk of cutting interest rates too far at this point?
Well, no risk of inflation. I don't think anyone is seriously suggesting that is a problem. But these very deep cuts, of course, do affect the savers. And we have several hundred thousand people in the UK who have retired and who are depending on interest on their savings for a large part of their income. They have seen over the past few months their retirement income cut pretty much in half.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
So far in Europe, stocks are mixed late in the day. The Dow is down just a fraction, 17 points to 85.73. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 just off a couple of points. In Asia, the markets also finished mixed. Congressman Barney Frank will give a speech today about re-regulating the financial system. His Financial Services Committee will take up the issue next month. Marketplace's Steve Henn caught up with Frank.
For Barney Frank, it's obvious America's fragmented system of financial regulation simply doesn't work.
Here's the deal. If you start to regulate by institution, pretty soon somebody will decide to be the kind of institution that's not quite covered by the regulation.
By summer, Frank hopes to overhaul this entire regulatory mess. He'd like to give one regulator, probably the Federal Reserve, broad new powers to rein in high flyers and constrain what he sees as excessive risk-taking.
If you're a bank right now, you can only lend a certain amount more than your capital. But if you are another institution, a hedge fund, an investment bank, etc., you've been under no such constraints.
Frank would like to see capital reserve requirements for any institution that wants to play in Wall Street's sandbox. He's also a fan of ideas like a Financial Services Safety Commission that could make sure your mortgage doesn't do you in. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Looks like Black Friday gave retailers a little boost in November sales. So, as one analyst put it, sales were terrible instead of miserable. Macy's and Kohl's both had 10% drops compared to last November. Walmart, of course, was one of the few stores to do fairly well. Then again, Walmart was sued yesterday by the family of the employee trampled to death on Black Friday. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, December 4th on Marketplace.org. The carmakers are back on Capitol Hill today for bailout hearings. They've been in this position before, and I don't mean last month. Here's Elisa Roth.
Read the news from 1979, and you understand why Gerald Greenwald's experiencing deja vu. Greenwald was a vice president at Chrysler back then and helped negotiate a big bailout from Congress.
The issues, the problems, the risks, they're literally the same. I mean, there was a recession. There was the question of would Chrysler be better off cleaning up its act through bankruptcy? Virtually everything.
Marianne Keller is an auto industry analyst who thought bankruptcy would have been smart. She testified before Congress in 1979 against a rescue plan.
In fact, what the government did was very clever, because the government actually mandated the equivalent of a reorganization and restructuring as a condition of granting the loan guarantees.
And it helped. Not only did Chrysler get the money from Congress, it paid the loans back. Maybe that's one piece of the story where a sense of deja vu wouldn't be so bad. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
There's a study out this morning from the Chronicle of Higher Education about admissions. Stacey Vanek Smith has more on that.
The number of students applying to college continues to rise, and 2008 was no different. But this year did see one major change. About half of colleges said fewer students than usual accepted offers. Martin Vanderwerf headed up the study. He says the reason for the fall off? Money.
A lot of students and their parents started thinking that the college that they had committed to, they could no longer afford. Another thing that parents did is they accepted admittance at a number of different colleges and then waited to see who would get them the best financial aid offer.
Vanderwerf says cost is becoming a top priority. Applications are up at community colleges and public universities, but for some private institutions, the future looks bleak.
The gravity of this financial situation is probably going to end up in some colleges closing.
Vanderwerf says small private colleges are especially vulnerable since many of them rely heavily on tuition to stay afloat. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
It appears former Senator Tom Daschle will be Barack Obama's health secretary. Yesterday, Daschle held a conference call with about 1,000 people to talk about ideas for health care reform. Time to visit with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, reform is obviously needed, but can we really afford something like universal health care with everything else going on in the economy?
First of all, this would be spending that would help out Main Street, the average worker. We're in this recession dated back to December. We all get the feeling that the recession is getting worse. And so all these workers losing their jobs. And guess what happens when they lose their jobs? They lose their health care. Their family loses their health care.
So are you suggesting that we spend on health care as a stimulus package for the economy?
Absolutely. As a stimulus package for the economy, partly, it's the right thing to do. Rather than this notion that we can't do it, we can't afford it, an economic crisis provides the opportunity of two real benefits. It will be part of the fiscal stimulus, and it will help out those families. Think about families when they lose their job. You can't time when your kids get sick. So this would really help people out. But it's not one of these notions that, you know, well, we need people to shop more. No, we don't need people to shop more, but people need economic security. They need to feel better. They need to not have to worry about their children getting sick. This is a good fiscal stimulus package. Embrace it and go big.
How much do you think it would cost to do this right and not skimp on it so much that it doesn't improve the system?
Well, Dean Baker's number that he uses is about $160 billion, and that seemed like a reasonable number to me. And that's a reasonable number for a fiscal stimulus. I don't know how much more the economy could absorb in terms of those figures. It's using tax credits, a little bit of mandates, opening up Medicare, opening up Medicaid. Longer term, you set up a better system.
I have to say, $160 billion a few months ago probably would have sounded like a lot more. But recently,
that's right. What was the old famous quip from Everett Dirksen? You know, $1 billion here, $1 billion there, and all of a sudden you're talking real money.
Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. The fallout just keeps coming in the job market. Today, AT&T said it would eliminate 12,000 jobs, about 4% of its workforce. DuPont said it's cutting 2,500 jobs. And Viacom is slashing about 850. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.